of information and a source to trivia questions, but not as a book of truth that confronts and transforms our lives, because that doesn't fill the seats. That's not a business plan. I can't confront you. And it's not me doing the confronting. It's not Kurt doing the confronting. It's the Holy Spirit that confronts. That's the person that does that. We're just a mouthpiece. How you take it in is the Holy Spirit dealing with you. It's not me doing that to you. It's the Holy Spirit. And people feel uncomfortable with that. So I don't want to go to that church. It made me feel uncomfortable. I want to be entertained. I want to go, and when I walk out that back door, I want to be happy. I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be confronted. I just want to have a good time. That's the generation we live in today. I just want to have a good time. No responsibility, just a good time. In verse 6, or in verse 5, it says, some use godliness as gain. This is a good one. Some use godliness as gain. You realize the gospel is sold as a, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be spiritually blessed and have all kinds of rewards. Do you know that? That's the way it's taught. It's not for God's glory, but for them. Look at all the religious programming you may watch on TV that promote this. If you send me $100, I'll give you a flask of oil that will heal you. Send me $100, I'll send you a towel. Whatever you pray that towel, you'll be blessed with. People, that goes on. That's what people do. And you know what? The sad part is, people do it. People do it. Kind of called the, we'll call that the prosperity gospel. No, Jesus, you can have anything. No problems, no trials, no temptations, just have blessings. You just got to believe me. That's what you have. Unfortunately, today, Christianity is presented as what can I get out of it? What can I get out of it? Today is how it is marketed. You're right back to that business terminology again. How is it marketed? If I market that you come here and you'll become a Christian, you'll have personal success, happiness, stronger family, and a more secure life, more likely you'll come. But where in the Bible does it say that? Where does it say that as a Christian, I'm going to have personal success, happiness? However, that's how the TV evangelist markets Jesus today. That's what they do. He is no more than a brand product that will fix every problem. That's who Jesus is today to most people. No more than a brand product that will fix every problem. The danger is, though, if we market Jesus in this way, what do people do when they encounter difficulties? I think you all know the answer. What do they do? What do people do when they encounter difficulties? They are unprepared for the rough times. Basically what they do, if the Jesus quote-unquote product doesn't work, we'll just try something different. You heard about the Indian guru that charismatic Christians are following. They'll find something else. Keep in mind, we're getting to that point, though. How are we supposed to respond? Are we supposed to be like this right here? Are we supposed to put our faith into stuff like this right here? This concept takes the focus off Jesus and puts it on what he will give us, commonly called the prosperity gospel. In verse 6, the word but means to go back and look at the previous section And look at what Paul was saying in the last section and compare it to what he is saying now in verse 6. Okay? Now, don't make fun of my Greek word either. Please. The Greek word for contentment, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but I'll give it my best shot, atarakeia, and it means self-sufficiency. So when he's saying to be content, you're self-sufficient. You don't need to have all the other things. It's a perfect life in which no aid or support is needed. That's what the Bible is telling us. Nothing else is needed. Nothing. It's completely independent of all outward things. In other words, to put it very simple, is trusting God to take care of you and me. That's what it is. Trusting God to take care of you and me. That's that contentment part. That's what that Greek word means here. Self-sufficient. Perfect condition of life in which no outside source is needed. That's what he's talking to Timothy about. You don't need those things on the outside. We don't need those things on the outside. In verse 7, it says, we have brought nothing into this world. That's true. When we were born, we were stark naked. We didn't bring anything into this world. Nothing. He goes on to say, and we carry nothing out. Someone raised their hands. When's the last time you ever seen a moving trailer behind a funeral hearse? You take nothing with you when you leave. You can have all the riches in the world, it doesn't mean anything to God. And you know, I'm not saying it's bad. He says, you know, back up there in those verses about money, and some may be longing for it, have wandered away. So it doesn't mean all. It says some have wandered away. Money in and of itself is not bad. It's how you use the money. Because most people who have a lot of money want more money. They don't have enough. That's what Paul's talking about here. We carry nothing out. Nothing. Nothing's going to go with us. Just whatever we're wearing in that coffin. When we die, what makes a man rich in this world means nothing in the world to come. Means absolutely nothing. A heart of contentment begins with seeing our material possessions and resources in an eternal perspective. That's what that means. Then, of course, we have the folly of the greedy heart in verses 9 through 10, what we just talked about. Money doesn't solve everything. Okay, the last part here, and this is the part that we want to get to, is being a man or woman of God in verses 11 through 12. Being a man or woman of God in verses 11, 12. Again, the verse starts with that little word, but. Go back to the previous section, and he's going to compare and contrast. This is what I don't want you to do. This is what I want you to do now. There are three words, if I were you, I would circle in your Bible. Flee, pursue, and fight. Flee, pursue, and fight. These words in the Greek are present active imperatives which imply a command and or a request. Okay? It's a command and or a request. Pastor Kurt always talks about the tenses of words. They're important. In the English, you don't pick up on that. In the Greek, you do. They're present, imperative verbs, active, commandment, follow, to do. Flee, the Greek word is phugo for flee. It means to flee away. Seek safely to shun or avoid by flight something abhorrent or vices. In other words, all those things that he talked about describing in that previous section, Timothy is to flee. We as Christians should flee from those things. We should flee from them. Pursue, the Greek word is dioko, means follow after, press on, run after. Little different connotation here. It means run after or pursue those six qualities. That's what he's talking about here. Then the third one is fight. And the Greek word is agonizomi. I think that's the best. It means to contend with adversaries, struggle, to endeavor with zeal, and to strive. We'll get to that one when we get a little bit further down. So those are the three words, flee in the previous section, envy, strife, etc., etc. Pursue those six qualities we're going to be talking about, and then to fight. Are some of you ready to fight? And again, we already talked about that. All our present active imperatives, command, and requests. Let me give you an example. Please be quiet. Most of you probably would be. Now, with those three Greek words there, it means the same thing. It's that kind of a commandment. No different. Timothy is told to flee those things found in verses 3 through 10 and follow after these six qualities. The first one is righteousness. The second one is godliness. The third one is faith. The fourth one is love. Fifth one is perseverance. And the last one is gentleness. If you can pursue all those and put those into your life, then we and you can become men and women of God in these troubling times. Doing this is opposed to being a man or woman of this world. They're very contrary. Can't have it both ways. That's more or less what he's teaching here. Remember, these are things after salvation, not things you got to do before. They're after. Some of us fall short in these areas. If I were to pick one, mine is probably gentleness. All of you would probably say, oh, I'm okay with this one and this one, but I'm really short here and here. Those are things you know to work on then. But if you do these six, these are how you become a man or woman of God in these troubling days that we live in. Let's look at these six qualities. Righteousness. It can be righteous behavior, but I believe Paul is talking about righteousness as a belief, not a behavior. It is the word of the gospel that when you came to know Jesus, he gave you his righteousness, and as you understand that, this is the way that God sees you now. You are no longer guilty, no longer tied to evil, no longer filled with weakness, but made righteous by God. That's what I believe that means there within that context. Godliness, it's reverence, respect, the condition acceptable to God, wholesome in spirit, soul, and body. Today, too many people in our world are worrying about what their body looks like and spend more time in the gym than they do at church. Oh, I'm too busy to go to church. I got to go to the gym. I got to keep my body looking great. Well, you know, someday when you get my age, it's not going to look so great then. That's what happens. It can be all this up here at one time, and then later on it all kind of goes down. There, yeah, done that. Know all about that. God wants us to have a renewed mind that lives life the way God sees it. That's what God wants. That's what he wants to see in us. Faith is a conviction of the truth, the belief. How do you decide to follow God and to obey his word and walk in his way? Those six areas there, that's the faith part. Are you going to walk in those six areas? Are you going to do what he's asking us to do? Are you going to do that? And love, this is the Greek word agape, so that's that strong love word. It's brotherly love. I mean, how much do you really love God? It's like when he asked Peter that three times, do you love me? Yeah. Do you love me? Yeah. He really wanted to know. That's where we should be with people. People, we should be with that with people here. I think we are within this group here. I think it happens here every Sunday. Or when you guys get together for ladies' Bible study. That happens. There's a love here that's unique. Okay, the love here that's unique. How do we present our viewpoints and how do we treat each other? I can learn some from that. Do I do it in love? That's what it's saying there. I need to, when I present my viewpoints, do I do it in love and do I treat people in love? Unfortunately, today, the success of a church is measured by how many attend. We talked about this earlier. However, that does not mean a church is growing. When a church is growing in love is when you see a church that is alive like here. Perseverance, endurance, patience. The common vernacular is hang in there. Hang in there. Refusing to give up. Unwillingness. To quit is the mark of a Christian man or woman of God in the midst of a world gone amok. Don't quit. The world's gone amok. You know that. The Bible tells you that. Hang in there. You want to know what you're supposed to do until the rapture? Those six qualities. That's what he wants you to do. Don't go build a bomb shelter. Don't go live like a hermit or a monk someplace. That's not what God's telling you to do. Do what you're supposed to do. That's what he wants us to do. Gentleness is meekness. Now, don't take this wrong. Gentleness does not imply weakness. That's not what that means. And a lot of people take that to mean that. It involves humility and thankfulness toward God and polite, restrained behavior toward others. Doesn't mean you can't confront people, people. It doesn't mean that. It says that when you do it, though, be polite with restrained behavior. Don't get into arguments with them about it. Walk away. That's what it's saying. Turn to Galatians 5:22. Kind of the same thing here. We all know what this is. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godly or goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's all of us in this room, those of us belong to him, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Those are what we should be following on. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the last one is the verb fight. Command is going God's way against the flow of the world. And this will not be easy. This is why Timothy and ourselves must have a soldier's determination. That's what it implies here. We're supposed to be soldiers. with that kind of determination. Those in the military that serve, you probably understand what I'm talking about. It's that desire to keep going on no matter what. That's what we're supposed to do. To keep going on no matter what. God calls all of us to be fighters, but to fight the good fight of faith. We may lose some battles, but we must carry on with determination until we are called home, / when the rapture occurs. That's what we're supposed to do. Fight until then. Yet this is very contrary to today's teaching. Today's teaching is that once you become a Christian, all your worries are over. You don't have to fight for anything. Trust the government. They'll take care of you. Now, there is time when God will give us time of peace, enjoyment, and we should thank Him for that. However, He tells us that we will suffer persecution and tribulation. 2 Timothy 3:12. Please turn to 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all means all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be happy, enjoyment, lots of money, everything they want, will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. You just happen to live in a country where a lot of that hasn't happened yet. To that extreme. Getting close. Persecution comes in different ways, people. Doesn't have to mean someone with a gun to your head being persecuted. Not yet. 1 Peter 4. Twelve through 16. Again, beloved Christians, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. In other words, expect it. It's going to happen. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. I've spoken at a church where I mentioned these things, and they looked at me like, "You mean I don't get any blessings?" Because that's the way they've been taught. It's the way their culture's been taught. And the sad part is, people are marketing that still to this day. Still to this day. However, the enemy is ruthless. He knows how exactly to get to us, how to discourage us, how to make us angry with each other, how to plant seeds of hostility and unrest between a husband and a wife, family, excuse me, and community, and he continues to do it. The battle is real. We are called to be a soldier. Paul tells us how to fight the good fight of faith. He says, take hold of that eternal life with which you began this Christian experience. Turn to Ephesians 6:11. How do we fight this battle? Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Everyone hear that? The full armor, not half the armor, not a quarter of the armor, all the armor Put it all on. Satan is more powerful than you think. It says in the Bible that he's the prince of this world. He can't be every place at one time like God can, but he's got henchmen around. Understand, Satan's an adversary. He's a foe. He will do anything to get you out of being close to God. Anything. Just look at the mess the churches and denominations are in today. And if you're honest, that's why we're sitting here today at this church. I know some are visiting, it's different, but a lot of us, that's why we're here. The armor is Jesus Christ, his strength, his wisdom, his love, his gentleness, and his peace. You can rest on that. I challenge you to follow those six qualities. And the final question is, before we close here, are you willing to be a man or woman of God in the days that we live today? Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word and thank you for helping me to get through this and just pray that your work in our lives will be done. We thank you for who you are and we put our trust in you. We ask for our strength to come from you and you alone. Just give us now a time of safety as we leave here, but also that you will help us to become men and women of God and that we will stay strong to you until the rapture occurs. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.